UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
Or 7-1 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Or 7-1 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. So yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is dispatched. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. And welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. That was Brothers of Alien Rock with A51. We'll be hearing a little bit more from them later on. Our guest coming on the moment is Jamie from Minnesota, with an encounter in 1982 at his childhood home and an unusual sighting of an object at a volcano in Hawaii in 1991. While Jamie was serving in the US Army. Following that, it will be our second guest, Jesse, and he will be sharing his sightings that he had in New Mexico in 2017. But first, I am very happy to announce the show has hit over 100,000 downloads this week, which is absolutely amazing as it wasn't very long that we only had 10 listeners. But what this means now is that it's important to update all the equipment for the show, so I have started a GoFundMe page, so if you would like to donate and help the show out, you can find the link below in the description or on our Twitter page. Everyone who donates not only gets a better sounding show, but I will also send you out a bumper sticker of the show. Now, on with our guests. Welcome Jamie to the show.
Hi.
Happy to have you on today, Jamie. You're from Minnesota.
Yeah, Chanhassen, Minnesota.
And your experience happened in 1982?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you like to start there and just fill the listeners in what you were doing and take it from there?
Sure. So it was in 1982. I was probably 12 years old, and it was June. It was in the summer. So what I did for fun a lot is I listened to a lot of music, and I would dig through my brother's album collection and always listen to his music. But on the radio, there was a show called King Biscuit Flower Hour. Well, they play live concerts, and it was huge back in the day. And I remember I was laying in bed. This is, I don't know what exact time it was at night, 11 or 12. And King Biscuit Flower Hour show was coming on, and I remember it because Journey was going to be playing live on the King Biscuit Flower Hour. So I was waiting up for that, and I was lying in bed, and my bed was right next to my window, and I could look out my window and see the stars in the sky. And what it reminded me of is the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You remember when she goes chasing her son out in the yard? Was his son named Barry? Running out there, and that sky, every star in the sky was out, and there was a, you know, a breeze. That's how it was that night. I had my window cranked open. I was laying there staring at the stars. There was a cool breeze, summer night. And for some reason, I was playing around with the radio, and I looked up out the window, and the stars were gone. It was like black. So I sat up in bed and I looked out my window trying to see if I saw stars. I couldn't see any stars. And I was on the ground floor of our house, and out my window in our backyard, it was fenced in, and we had a in-the-ground pool. It's probably like 15 by 30 feet pool in the ground. Out a little bit beyond the pool, I saw like a circle of light on the grass next to the pool. And it was weird because I couldn't see where the light was coming from. It was just a round circle of light on the grass by the pool. And I was trying to focus my eyes looking through the screen on my window. And I was looking and I was looking, straining to see what that was. And all of a sudden I saw a couple figures walking around by that circle of light. They were up on 2 feet. They were small and skinny, and they had big heads. This is at night. But I could see the outline of them by the circle of light. And I sat there and watched them walking around. It looked like they were, I don't know, maybe like scientists, and they were out doing research or something. They were looking around, just walking around, looking around. And there was at least two by that circle. And I kept on watching them. All of a sudden, I hear the bush right by my window rustle. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye by the bush out my window, and it wasn't a dog. It wasn't a raccoon. It was one of them outside my window. It wasn't right in front of me. It was off to the right. It scared me so bad. I jumped out of my bed. I turned on the light. I ran down the hall and up the stairs and woke up my dad and told my dad. I said, "Dad, there's things out in the backyard. There's things out in the backyard." And my dad flipped on the backyard lights, and he ran out the back door and looked around, and he didn't see anything. And I told him what I saw, and he's like, "Oh, you must be dreaming." I said, "No, I'm not dreaming. Because I remember I wasn't dreaming. I was waiting for this radio show to come on so I can hear Journey." And anyway, my dad went back to bed. Afterward, I realized the stars were blocked out. That's what made me sit up. I'm thinking whatever these creatures came in was basically above my house, blocking out the stars. Because I went back down to my room, and the stars were up. That was basically it. That was the encounter I had. And oh my God, I've never been so scared in my life. There was one basically standing outside my window. And I don't know if the ones way down by the pool were distracting the one by my window, but I know that there was two out by the pool and one by my window. There could have been more back there, but oh my God. It's so vivid. I was 12 years old. I'm 51 now. And it's clear as day. I remember all the details, the smell of summer, the stars in the sky and the leaves and the trees rustling. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
The one that was outside your window, were you able to get a look at him?
I saw part of a figure. I saw like more of the head, the shape of the head. I couldn't, because I didn't see much of the body. I saw more of the head because it was sort of in between my house and a bush to the right of my window. I bet if the window screen was off the window, I could have reached out and touched him. But there was no light. You know, it was pretty dark back in that corner because my bedroom was in the corner of the house, in the corner of the backyard. So the fence came right up to the house. So I was in a corner that was sort of dark and there was bushes. And yeah, so I saw something in the bush and it had a head and it was probably 3 feet tall from the bush. Cause the bush was probably maybe 2, maybe 3 feet tall. And
did your father believe you?
Not at the time. He just thought I was having, you know, a 12-year-old having nightmares or something. My older sister, she was upstairs. It was me and my brother had rooms downstairs, and my sisters had bedrooms upstairs. Well, my older sister woke up. She was involved. She believed me. And still to this day, she brings it up here and there, and she tells me it makes the hair on the back of her neck and on her arm stand up when I tell her. But never got to talk to my dad later on in life. I never really got to talk about it, but my sister believes me.
And you have another story.
Yeah, I was in the Army active duty from about 1988 to 1992. And I was stationed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii in the infantry. And we would deploy over to the big island of Hawaii and do training for, you know, a couple weeks. And it was up in the mountains in between the two big volcanoes, Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. And the Army owned a big chunk of land up there, and they would do live fires and all sorts of training out there. Well, we were doing like patrols at night, and I was in the scout squad of this infantry company, and we would go out in front of the company as we're patrolling. We'd go out way out in front of them to find the enemy. And the one night the company sat down for the night, and so we set up an observation point probably about, I don't know, half a mile away from the rest of the company. You know, there's like about 120 soldiers in a company, and my squad, there was 7 of us. We were out by ourselves way out, you know, half a mile out. Well, we sat up our observation point up on this ridge, and we were looking way down in this big open valley of old lava. You know, this is probably, I don't know, 12 o'clock at night. Way down, if you had binoculars, if you look way down in the valley, I'd say maybe 10, 15 miles away, you could see these lava chutes way down there glowing. there was no, you couldn't see the lava, but you can see the glow from the lava coming out. And we were up all night, you know, looking for the enemy at our observation post and reporting back to the company what we saw. It got to be about, I don't know, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and it started getting a little light out. And one of the guys says, "Hey, get the binoculars. Look way down there. See way down there and see that red glow down there?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I grabbed binoculars and I started looking. And there was a gold round shaped disc right next to this lava chute, probably 10 miles away, but it was bright gold. And the sun wasn't totally up, but you could see the contrast between the bright gold disc and the reddish glow of the lava tube. Now, I don't know how big tube was. I mean, it was 10 miles away, but there was a gold disc, and it was just weird looking. It wasn't lava. It was gold. And so over about, I don't know, half an hour or so, we'd take turns looking around out of the binoculars, and it was still there. Well, one of the guys that was looking down there yelled out, "Hey, that thing, it's moving." And so a couple of us grabbed some binos, and there was like three of us looking down at this gold disc. It started moving around, like clockwise, around the lava tube, basically. It was just sort of slowly going around, and all of a sudden it started going up. And the reason we could tell it was going up because of the horizon, because the lava field's all black and gray, and the horizon was like a darkish blue because it was, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. But it broke the line of the horizon and sat there for a little bit, and just in a split second went beesh, straight up into the sky, just boom, disappeared. And there was all seven of us, were three of us we had binos, the others could see it, they could see it up in the sky. But yeah, there was seven of us that watched this thing. We don't know what it was, but it was moving around, and it was doing things that a helicopter couldn't do, a plane couldn't do. So yeah, that was my second encounter.
That's fascinating. Makes you wonder what it was doing so close to the lava, because of course the heat of it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how big this thing could have been. I mean, 10 miles away, no clue how big it was, but it shot out of the sky, and we all stood there going, "Whoa!" Nothing ever came of it. I mean, we didn't report it to our company commander or anything like that.
Yeah, what would you have said?
Exactly. So,
but I do hear a lot of reports of sightings around volcanoes.
Well, it's funny because I filed that report with MUFON, and the guy that took my report said that, "Oh yeah, we've heard of we've had reports of gold discs out in Hawaii." And I'm like, "Oh wow." So
I actually had a gold disc I don't think even 2 weeks ago.
Oh wow.
Fascinating encounters there, Jamie.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
I really appreciate you for coming on, man. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, it feels good to get it out, you know. I've told it basically to MUFON and, you know, my sister and you, so.
Well, now you're telling thousands and thousands of others.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, another thing about the encounter I had back in 1982, is that I forgot to tell you, the next morning I woke up and the screen in the window, it had little spring-loaded little pins that locked it in place. Well, the screen was out and it was sitting on the ledge, the window ledge. It wasn't locked into place. I didn't push that screen out. It was loose and just sort of leaning up against the window. So I didn't notice it till the next morning.
And was there anything noticed actually in the garden, especially around that ring of light? Was there anything?
No, I went out there the next day and walked around, and I didn't see nothing. So I think that ring of light was coming from the whatever was blocking out the stars above our house. It was that's where it was coming from. It had to have been. I couldn't trace the light up to whatever was up there. It was just a really weird. It was subtle. It wasn't really super bright or anything. It was just soft light
and white.
Yeah, and white. Still gives me chills.
Yeah, it certainly makes you wonder, especially when the window had been maybe tampered with.
After my dad went out there and after everything settled down and I went back to bed with the blankets pulled over my head, you know? I mean, who says they didn't come back? And
did you have neighbors around?
Yeah, but I never talked to... We lived sort of out in farm country at the time, and but we lived in a neighborhood, and our next door neighbors were no one, nothing. So I don't, being 12 years old, I didn't like go out and do a
yeah,
survey, you know. I didn't go out and knock on doors and all that. So
good morning, Mr. Anderson. I was wondering. Yeah, of course.
So, which is weird, because, and then King Biscuit Flower Hour special with Journey on there. I totally missed it. It's like an hour and a half long concert. So I totally missed it.
I really appreciate you coming on today. It was wonderfully talking to you today.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was Brothers of Alien Rock, You Can't Stop All of Us. Link to these guys can be found below in the description. They sound great. I had their album playing in the car earlier. Okay, I'd like to welcome Jesse to the show.
Hi Nick, how are you?
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your sightings with us, Jesse.
Absolutely. I'm glad to share it and hopefully be interested in somebody other than myself.
Now, your sightings happened...
Oh, they happened about, I think the first one was in October of 2017. In fact, both of them were in October's. The first one is in 17. The second sighting was in October of 18. And they're almost identical. to my situation and what I was doing. And I just happened to be outside of my house. Live in the mountains in New Mexico, so it's relatively quiet. And these are nice fall mornings. Both were on weekends, and just happened to be outside doing yard work, doing just things around the house, being outside. And I heard an airplane, which isn't uncommon. There is an airport not terribly far from the house, and we are in somewhat of a flight path. So hearing airplanes, not out of the ordinary, but I just happened to look up for some reason, and it was smaller, like a private airplane, private jet kind of thing. I don't know if it was a Learjet or something, but it was along those lines, and it was white, no markings, nothing distinct. And then maybe 30 seconds to a minute later, I heard another aircraft, and it was an almost identical airplane. In fact, I'd say they were sister airplanes, but trailing the second one was a silver object, cigar shaped, nothing that I could tell what it was other than I'm looking at it, something without wings, flying behind these two aircraft. The first two airplanes were spaced out, I don't know, maybe half a mile to a mile. But then this trailing object was within, maybe 1,000 feet of the second aircraft. And I watched it for quite a while, maybe a minute, 2 minutes, just staring up at this, what in the world is that following that aircraft? And as I watched it, it kind of, and these planes were heading from west to east, and this aircraft, whatever was following it, trailed off behind it and kind of took a southerly direction. And just slowly, I say slowly compared to Learjets, whatever they were. I mean, those things are probably traveling 400 or 500 miles an hour. And this thing was, 20% of that once it started making its turn south. So it continued south to a point where I couldn't see it anymore over the trees and the hills. But following year, almost identical, with the exception of it was only one white airplane with the same silver type object following it. And this one stayed with it, again, maybe 1,000 feet behind it. They both at the same time looked, same elevation relatively. But on the second one, he just trailed it all the way as they continued east. And as things go, it disappeared in my line of sight. Didn't hear anything. It didn't have any contrails. Nothing really distinguished it other than that it was extremely shiny silver and had no wings whatsoever, no wing structure at all. But yeah, that's the two sightings that were not too long ago here in New Mexico that I saw.
How big would you said the silver object was?
I mean, in relation to the jets, I'd say it was similar in length. It really could have been similar in length and width as far as the fuselage goes, just minus the wings, of course, and no tail. I'd say they were comparable.
In England, we have the gliders, which get pulled up behind planes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them from various different distances and stuff, and you can always tell it's a glider.
Right. And from where I'm at, we're actually not too far from a place that does a lot of gliding. So, that kind of came to mind, but boy, it just wasn't, there was nothing connected like you would think. And maybe you couldn't see it, the connection between the aircraft and pulling a glider. But there was no wings, nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite visible, and I don't think they're ever silver as well. I've never seen a silver glider.
No, and it was extremely shiny. I mean, to the point of, that thing was dipped in chrome almost. I mean, it was really, really shiny. Oh, I mean, like I said, there's not too much to it, but like we spoke previously, that's, people need to understand that, hey man, it's just a fleeting moment. There's a lot to what's going on. Is it your brain playing tricks on you? Are you actually seeing what you see? But, that's the way it happens. It's quick. It didn't land to give me pancakes.
No, it didn't land to give me waffles, but also you've got a military background as well. And generally people in the military, they know what they're looking at. You guys are trained observers.
Right. And I try to rely on that, not only with these kind of sightings, but just in regular life in general. But it's something that you, it's a skill that you learn, and you, it never goes away. So when you see things like this, or a car accident, or, you know, God forbid something horrible, I'm pretty confident in what I saw. Certainly in those two sightings, I'm 99% sure that's exactly the way it went. There's no, just nothing to distract me in that time period. I was able to get a good look, and I'm pretty sure what I observed was pretty accurate.
You know, and your sighting is very similar to a lot of emails I get, where these objects are seen tailing other aircrafts.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, like, kind of spoke about the Tic Tac thing. There's a good chance it's probably government stuff. It's just the way I'm getting, the feeling I'm getting anyway. So for various people to see it, it doesn't really surprise me, though.
I mean, it's those legs at the bottom, which kind of, to me, it just seems man-made. It seems clunky. Yeah.
It does, right? Very, very, very much so. It's not, it just, something about it doesn't scream extraterrestrial to me. I mean, maybe the technology is, but that thing there, I don't think it is.
It would just feel like to me that it would be more streamlined. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, right. Perfect is a good word for it, because it does look imperfect, right? I mean, something about it just, I don't know. I could be wrong, but my experience in the military and just seeing various aircraft, you know, it seems like it's something that the military would do. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong.
But who knows?
You know, I always think that, you know, when people are seeing these really advanced aircrafts, it's where they actually got the ideas from, where this technology obviously came from something a lot more exotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the side of it where, you know.
I feel the same way. Like I said, you would think that it would be perfect, right? But that doesn't mean the technology didn't come from somewhere. Reverse engineering, gifts, accidental. I mean, there's just so much that could, there's, like we said before, so many possibilities. The potentiality for some of these things to happen is there. So, you know, who's to say it's not?
Exactly, yeah.
Very good. Yeah, that's a pretty great conversation there, Nick. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Jesse.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to hear from you. Good to talk to you, and not just you know, via email. It's good to talk. I hope more people get to share their experience and want to come out and share, because the only way you're going to find out any of the answers is getting more information. So
exactly, and that's what it's all about. The more people would share, the better.
I agree. Just get out and do it, because you never know. It's one little puzzle piece in the whole big puzzle, right?
That's it, yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can learn off ancient aliens.
Yeah, you got that right. If it's learning at all, I think it's kind of throwing everybody off. But yeah, let's keep pushing forward and see what the genre brings.
Exactly. I don't know how many seasons that's gone on for now. I mean, I stopped watching it after, I think, season 5.
You know, I might have watched 3 or 4 episodes, and I was about to pull what little hair I have out. And you know why? It's because I'm looking for an answer, and then you're not going to get it from something like that. Just not.
No.
The answer is going to probably end up being some personal revelation or something like that. But who knows? The quest for knowledge never stops.
No, it should never stop.
Absolutely.
It's great to have you on today, man. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories.
Absolutely. It was great. Thank you for listening and taking it. I appreciate it.
All right, Jesse.
Good one, Nick. Thank you.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, give us a quick share. And remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. I will be back next Monday. Stay safe and have a great week.
all my life. Down a dark and lonely road, late at night. And all I see is the late great face of my worst enemy. And that was you. Your pride fought the war of independence for your side, and we fought on the run as the sky lit up all around us from our guns, and again it was you. You who killed the man that brought the war of independence to our land. We all saw change the game as you jumped up on his horse and asked his name. He said, I'm Leopold. You're the man they sent to kill me, I've been told. You're the only man I know won't fight for gold. And that's why you're my best friend. We've been brothers all along to the end. And our paths crossed once before. Many years ago, before this war, and I gave you your name. It's what I've come so many miles to explain. You're the son I never got to hold, and your name is Lee. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Now I die at your side, and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Please tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night, and you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. My wife, but that is why I came, to say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Now my son, tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my land and all my guns. You are leaving.